So what we've told you is, in 1400, they discovered Vaticanus. In 1800 something, they discovered Sinaiticus. Then they started making modern translations from these new, older, what they called older, manuscripts. RSV, ASV, New ASV, Living Bible, New Translation, Translation, Translations. Let's just look at one right quick. Turn to Psalm 9. Look at Psalm 9. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah. They'll have them, but they'll tell you they ain't supposed to be in there. Let me look at that right quick while you're... I got the NIV right here. It's got a line. It's got a line between verse 8 and verse 9, just like a big line separating them. This is a little cheap one. It don't even have no notes. Who can, Brother Derek, you might can do that. Does anybody have a NIV concordance? Or you can get it. Ain't they got that on? Can't you get that on the internet? I'm almost sure that somebody told me you could get one. Let's look at Psalm 9. Might check that for me if you get a chance. Especially what? Well,
verses 16 through 18. It was that, you know, in mine down at the bottom it said ancient manuscripts contain two different endings for Mark. While some suggest that Mark did indeed intend for his gospel to end at verse 8, it ends on a note of fear and a lack of terror resurrection account. 9 through 20, and it says that they be advised to take care and base the document on him, especially verses 16.
You know what happened? Somebody took a scissors and cut it out. Mark intended for him to say, they cut out the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel.
What they don't ever tell you is that early church historians quoted those verses before those two manuscripts ever came.
They sure did.
That shows they were taken out.
And I can show you places where the King James agrees with the older manuscripts, even back before these guys came out. But they don't tell you that either. Look at my Psalm 9. All right, Psalm 9. The one of the strongest verses in your Bible. Somebody read it for me real loud. I can read real loud. Psalm 9, 17. Verse 17. Yeah, somebody read it real loud. All right, look at that verse. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Let me read this to you in the NIV. You look at yours. Now, this is the Bible. I'm not trying to be ugly. This is the Bible Charles Stanley uses. This is the Bible David Jeremiah, I think. Now, all of them guys there. I'm not trying to be ugly. Them's great men. I ain't worthy to shine Charles Stanley's shoes, folks. I'm not. I'm not being critical of him. I'm just saying they wasn't taught right. Went to seminary and wasn't taught right. Let me read you this in the NIV. Verse 17. Sinful people go down to the grave. So do other nations that forget God. That's right. Let me ask you something. Sinful people go down to the grave. What does that say? That don't say nothing. Everybody, you go to the grave whether you're sinful or not. Amen. Sinful people go to the grave. Well, big deal. You go up and say, man, you better quit sinning. You're going to go to the grave. He'll say, buddy, so are you, man. I don't care if you don't sin or not. Ain't that right? That don't say nothing. That don't say nothing. You see it cut. This is why I ask you, did they have a NIV concordance? I don't think, don't quote me on this yet. Next week we'll know. I don't think the word hell is in the Old Testament in the NIV. I don't even think it's in there. I think it is in the New Testament. Somebody say something on that right quick while I'm looking here. I'll look in the New Testament.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right, brother. That's right. Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir. Yeah, it's in hell. It's in hell. It's in here. Hell's in here. Anybody else? That, all right, all these preachers, all these years, all these old-time mountain preachers that's in these revivals getting up preaching, the wicked shall be turned into hell. We now find out they were wrong. The Bible don't say that. It says they'll be going to the grave. See, if you believe the NIV, you can't even preach on hell from Psalm 9:17. It just says they're going to the grave. Now, you know where that comes from? Translating Sheol as grave, which Sheol is a pit, which hell is a pit. But the grave ain't hell. Hell is a pit, but the pit ain't hell. I had a man tell me one time, y'all, you'll have to let that sink in, what I just said. He said, well, they've discovered now that hell is just the basement. It's a pit. I said, you're right. Hell is a pit, but just because something's a pit don't mean that's hell. And just because somebody says you're going to the grave, that's not the meaning of the word. The King James translators, and that's, remember that stuff we got into about Jonah? That's why we believe that God led them to translate hell as hell and grave as grave, because the grave is in the King James Bible in the Old Testament. It is. Sometimes it says grave, sometimes it says hell. There it says hell. If you take out the word hell out of that verse don't have no meaning. That verse don't even have a meaning. Anybody else? Let's look at a couple of verses that they say are clear. Let's just change directions here just a minute. Turn in your Bible to Job chapter 6. You hear all these guys talking about, well, it's easier to understand. These new Bibles are just easier to understand. There really is no difference. It's just easier to understand. Let's just look at a couple of little non-important verses, and then we'll look at a couple that are very important. Job chapter 6, and let's look at verse number, let's see here, 6. Job 6:6. And then I'm going to give you a couple of quotes from modern versions. Job 6:6. Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? Everybody knows that. There ain't no taste in egg white. Egg whites don't have a taste. Is there any taste in the white of an egg? Let me ask you something. Which is easier to understand? Is there any taste in the white of an egg? Or this? Listen to this. Job 6:6 in the RSV. Your Bible said, is there any taste in the white of an egg? The RSV says, is there any taste in the slime and the purslane? Slime in the purslane. Which one of them's easier to understand? The new versions are easier to understand? Slime in the purslane? I have no clue in the world what that is. Does anybody have that in your notes? Look at your notes in Job 6:6. See what it says. Anybody have purslane? You know what the New World Translation, the Jehovah's Witness Bible says? Slimy juice of the marshmallow. That's what it says for Job 6:6. Is there any taste in the white of an egg? Is there any taste in the slimy juice of a marshmallow? NWT, New World Translation. Back up to Judges. Let me show you another one. Back up to Judges. Go backwards there a little bit to your left to the book of Judges. These are little ones that you wouldn't think would matter a whole lot, but then we'll show you something that does matter a whole lot. Judges chapter 5. Look at Judges chapter 5. And this is when that woman killed that guy, and he's the type of the Antichrist. And in Judges chapter 5, let's see what it said in verse 25. No. It ain't 20. Oh, yeah, Judges 25. 25. No, it's 25. Judges 5:25. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. Anybody have any trouble understanding that? He asked for water, she brought him milk. she brought butter in a dish to him. Anybody have any trouble understanding that? All right. Here is the NASV. Well, let's look at the NIV here. Let's look at the NIV. Hold your fingers there on what you got. Judges 5:25. It says, yours says brought him butter in a lordly dish. This one says, he asked for water, she gave him milk in a bowl that was fit for nobles. She brought him buttermilk. You know what the New King James says? Cream. You know what the Living Bible says? Milk. You know what the New ASV says? Curds. Brought him forth curds. Now, you read the Bible and tell me she brought him forth butter, she brought him forth curds. And you mean to tell me that that one's hard to understand and that one's not? I've heard Dr. Ruckman say that the King James Bible, that the major part of the King James Bible is made up of one-syllable words. A fifth-grade education, you can read the King James Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only two begotten three Son. That almost every one of them is one-syllable words. In the beginning, God created. It's not hard to understand. It's not that hard to understand. There are times when you'll run across an old English word where you have to get a dictionary and look it up or ask somebody, you can get it. You don't have to say, I'm going to trade my Bible in for one that comes from a completely different wrong line of manuscripts because I can't understand trow. You know, I trow not or some of those old English words like that. Most of the time, if you read the context, you can figure out what a word means. If you don't, you can look it up in a dictionary. I mean, there's Bible dictionaries. Call Brother Derek. Ask him. I mean, if you figure out that you don't know something. All right? Now, let me show you another one. Turn to Romans 14. This is a little more serious. We all preach. Excuse me. We preach, all us preachers preach on the judgment seat of Christ. How many of you have heard preachers preach on the judgment seat of Christ? We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged. And Romans chapter 14, I want you to look at verse 10. Romans chapter 14. And look at verse number 10. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 10. All right? Somebody read that for us real big and loud. Romans 14:10. Just anybody wants to. Good. All right, there's where we get that. Preachers preach on the judgment seat of Christ because of that verse and one other. We believe that the judgment seat of Christ is for Christians after the rapture, that we stand before the Lord and we're judged according to our works to receive or lose rewards. That's what the judgment seat of Christ is. It's got nothing to do with whether we go to heaven or hell. That's already settled when you die. When you die, it's already fixed. Your eternal destiny is already fixed. You don't stand before God to be judged over whether you're going where you're going when you die. That's done when you leave here. Ain't no use praying for nobody that's done and gone. I've had people tell me, say, so-and-so got killed in a car wreck. Pray for him. I say, it's a little late to pray for him. When a man's gone, there ain't no use in praying for him. So we believe that when you die, you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Let me tell you something. Like I said, I'm not trying to be ugly. Some of those preachers on TV are good preachers. They just been taught wrong. They don't have no judgment seat of Christ. It ain't in the NIV. There's no such thing in it. You want me to read it to you? 14:10. Now then, who are you to judge your brother or sister? You can just feel something different about that, can't you? Can't you? Who are you to judge your brother or sister? Why do you look down on them? We will all stand in God's courtroom to be judged. No judgment seat of Christ. There's no such thing as the judgment seat of Christ. One more, turn to 2 Corinthians. And that's the only other time I think it's mentioned. I think it's only mentioned twice in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5. And verse number 10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. There again, in your Bible, it says judgment seat of Christ. Now, here in this one, somebody read that one for us. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Amen. Now, according to that, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's a little closer this time. This is the NIV. We must all stand in front of Christ to be judged. We will be judged for the good things and the bad things we do while we were in our bodies. Then each of us will receive what we are supposed to get. That's pretty close. That's close to the truth. But it still leaves out judgment seat of Christ. Now, next week, we're about out of time tonight, but next week, I'm going to show you how that there's false doctrine and even lies, flat out things that are not true, right in the scripture of the NIV. Now, if you went to most churches in Burke County tonight, the pastor, especially if he's been to Bible college, the pastor would tell you that he believes that the NIV is the best translation on the market. You can't preach Psalm 917 if it is. You can't preach the judgment seat of Christ if it is. You can't preach, it's hard talking about butter. She brought him butter in a lordly dish if it is. They're saying, well, no translation is perfect. Well, then how are we going to preach the Word? How are we going to preach the Word if we don't even know what the Word says? How am I going to preach the Word if I don't have the Word, if I don't know what the Word says? Is it hell or is it grave? You say, well, Brother Danny, they're both right. That can't be both right. Hell ain't the grave, and the grave ain't hell. Hell is a pit, but just because something's a pit don't mean it's hell. All right, can y'all understand that? Don't feel bad about asking a question. If you got a question, fire it right now. Anybody got one right now? Yes, ma'am. I ain't heard nothing about that. They're trying. They're trying to make it neuter, gendered, where it's not he, where it's not God is a he. You know, because they think that's against women or something. Yeah, they're trying to say, you know, God's male, the Father's male, the Son's male, and the Holy Spirit's male. That's the way it is, folks. Like it, lump it. That's just the way it is. And if that's racist or chauvinist or whatever, deal with it. That's the way God is. God's is he. He's a he. You know, movie stars get up there and they say, I just thank God because she made all this possible. You know, just a bunch of bull like that. Amen. If you're a woman, thank God he made you a woman and be the best woman you can be. Quit whining. And if you're a man, thank God he made you a man, be the best man you can be. Be a man. God's not a bigot. He's not chauvinist just because he's male. That's just the way he is. He's that way by his nature. Anybody else want to say something? The original King James had the Apocrypha stuck in it, but with a note there saying that it wasn't inspired. I think that it was not part of the original canon, but they did leave it in it for a while. Some of them did.
Wasn't it between the testaments?
Yeah, between the testaments.
It
wasn't mixed in with the scripture. It was stuck in between the scripture. What she's talking about, the Apocrypha, y'all, is I think 7 books that are not in our Bible. So when you see these things on TV about the lost books of the Bible and stuff, that's what they're talking about. There ain't no lost books of the Bible. That's what they're talking about. Judith, Tobith, Bell and the Dragon, The Shepherd of Hermes, stuff like that. They were books that some of the ancient people believed was supposed to be in the Bible, so the King James translators left it in with a note that said it wasn't part of the canon of the creed. But that's what a lot of people say. They'll say, well, see there, the King James had the Apocrypha in it. But it didn't have it in it as a part of the Scripture, as far as I know. Anybody else got a question? But we'll get something on that, Felicia. Yeah, a lot of people bring that verse up, buddy, because that Word of God ain't nothing to be tampered with. What do you mean they had to say it? Well, I mean, you know, if he's going to play on their team, I wouldn't make a big fuss. No, I don't think he's taking words out of the Bible. You know, a lot of times I'll quote a verse, but I don't quote it verbatim, but I'm mixing Scripture in with what I'm talking. But I'm not going to change nothing of this and write me a new Bible and take out this word or add this word. I think that's what that's talking about. It's not just talking about us. Sometimes we sing a song, and we'll sing a song that's got parts of a verse of Scripture in it, or we'll change it a little bit. There's nothing wrong with that as long as you're not contradicting another Scripture. But that's talking about changing the Bible itself, taking words out or putting other words in. So, oh yeah, that's right, no doubt. Probably was. Let me see what it says here. Y'all give me just a second. I'll see what John 3:16 says. Ain't that what you said it was? John 3:16. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son. Anyone who believes in him will not die, but will have eternal life. That ain't right. It don't say you will not die. Anyone that believes in him will not die, but have eternal life. Isn't that crazy? That's right. It don't say begotten. Wow. Check that to see if it don't even say begotten. Man, you're right. God has lots of sons. God gave his one and only Son, and if you believe in him, you will not die. Yeah, you will too. You'll die, but then you'll have eternal life in heaven. That eternal life is different than physical life. You will die, this physical body. Anybody else? The moral of the story is tonight, you just keep, stick with the old book right here. It'll not lead you wrong. Right. Amen. Amen. Right. All right. I'm going to stop right there. Does anybody else have a question? This went by real fast tonight because it's getting good. But it's going to get better next week now. It's going to get better. Let me make some announcements right quick. We'll let all those kids loose back there now. Don't forget, Saturday morning we're going visiting. God spoke to your heart, and you'll help us visit. We're going Saturday morning at 9:30. Melanie needs help. Vicky needs help. Brother Mike needs help. Miss Jeannie needs help. We all need help on these bus routes. You don't go on a bus route because you feel led. If you wait till you feel led, you'll go about two times a year. You go because God told us to go, and it's a ministry. It's not it's something. He said, go. You don't pray about doing what God already told us to do. Ain't nothing to pray about. So, Lord, if we just felt go when we felt led, you never would do nothing. So let's be here, come praying, bring somebody with you, okay? And don't forget now, everybody set your clocks back up 1 hour. Spring up. I wish you would set them back. Maybe it wouldn't be late Sunday. But set them up. Now, your cell phone does that automatically, so set your alarm on your cell phone or something if you can't. I don't understand grown people that can't get up other mornings. I don't understand that. I can understand a sorry, good-for-nothing, low-down 18-year-old boy or girl wanting to sleep. I can't understand grown people that won't get up and come to church. That just boggles my mind that grown people can't get out of bed and make it to church. There's something wrong with you. Go to bed at 10 o'clock, by 10 o'clock Saturday night, so you can be here for Sunday school. Amen. All right, let's stand, and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. And after this, shake hands. Don't forget your...